Hello, church. It's incredible to be with the Miami family, amen? Yo, this week has been an incredible week. I mean, just to top it off, my mother-in-law came into town, and that has been terrific. I mean, amen, she's not here today. She's a little sick, so pray for her. But it's just so awesome to have her in town. I mean, she decorated my whole son's room. It's incredible. I walked in there. I was like, whoa, wow. I love you, mother-in-law. Gave her a hug and everything was great. And also, yesterday was incredible. I want to thank the Greens and McGee's for an incredible Mary's devotional. You know, before I came, I was like, man, I have 5 years under my belt. I mean, I don't need to be taught anything. I came there, man, I was proved wrong. I was like, boy, I need to grow in that. There's so much to learn, and I'm just so grateful that we can have a Mary's Devo even yesterday. It was a great time. Yeah. You know, so many things that I learned even from being married. Me and Jaleesa are completely different people. Yeah. I mean, she likes basketball. I like boxing.
Oh, yeah, bro.
I think the only thing we have in common is that we're both small and short. That's right, the only thing we have in common. But one of the things I learned about us is that, man, I will never fully understand my wife. And she will never fully understand me. It's just something between us as men and women will never fully understand each other. But God knows everything about each and every one of us. That's what's amazing about it. Let's get into the word of God, amen? Let's go to Habakkuk chapter 1. Habakkuk chapter 1. Hopefully you have turned there before in your quiet time and you read this minor prophet. Amen. Amen. In Habakkuk chapter 1, verse 1, the Bible says, the oracle that Habakkuk the prophet received. How long, O Lord, must I call for help? But you do not listen. Or cry out to you, violence, but you do not save. Why do you make me look at injustice? Why do you tolerate wrong? Destruction and violence are before me. There is strife and conflict abounds. Therefore, the law is paralyzed, and justice never prevails. The wicked hem in the righteous, so that justice is perverted. You know, right here, we have the prophet Habakkuk, and it's under 690 B.C. And what's ironic about this passage is that this prophet is not speaking to the people, he's speaking to God. And he does the number one thing that we should probably never do. He questioned God. On his heart was questions. God, why this? Why that? And if you're like me, you've been there before. When you have questions and you question what God is doing in your life. Yeah. You know, around 690 B.C., right here, he's a prophet and watchman over the people of God. You know, there are wicked times, but when King Josiah rose up, he became king at 8 years old, and he was devoted to serving the Lord. You know, later on, he found the book of the law, and he purged the nation of the false gods. But then over time, King Josiah was killed by the Egyptians, and then evil kings reigned again, and then the nation became evil. So Habakkuk is looking at this, he's like, man, what is going on, God? Why can't things be the way I want them to be? He says, why? How long? And he says, therefore, the law is paralyzed. Is there times in your life you feel like the word of God is not active in your life? It just doesn't work. It's just a book of words. It doesn't work in my life. It's not powerful. And we get sucked in to believing that. You know, the answer to these questions that Habakkuk had is in the title of the lesson today. O Sovereign Lord. God is sovereign. And that's the one thing I'm learning in my life today. Sovereignty. Supreme power or authority. You know, Habakkuk had all these questions. But the one that has all the answers is God. And sometimes he doesn't give us the answers as to why. But we know the end result, that God has a special plan for everyone's life. God believes in you, and he's going to take care of you. If you're a disciple of Jesus Christ, are you guys with me? Amen. Let's turn our Bibles in Romans chapter 11. In Romans chapter 11, we see Paul, and we see how he's so blown away by the work of God. And in a way, you can't even describe it in words. In verse 33, look what he says here. He says, oh, the depth of the riches of the wisdom and knowledge of God. How unsearchable his judgments and his path beyond tracing out. Who has known the mind of the Lord, or who has been his counselor? Who has ever given to God that God should repay him? For from him and through him and to him are all things. To him be glory forever. And the church says, amen. Amen. You know, right here in this passage, God knows all things. Past. He knows the present. And he knows the future. You know, there's no limit to his knowledge. And he knows everything completely before it happens. There is nothing in this world that happens and God's like, oh my gosh, I can't believe that happened. No, God knew, he knew in advance that it was going to happen. Can you imagine knowing every word of someone before they even said it? I knew you're going to say that, Brandon. I knew you're going to say that. Or knowing every single action. Bro, I knew you was going to give contribution today. I knew he's going to sit in that exact seat. You know, God is sovereign over our families. God is sovereign over life and death. You ever heard somebody say he passed too soon? No, God is sovereign over that person's life. He passed at the very time he was supposed to pass. Amen? God is sovereign over the events of life, our relationships, our jobs, even our location. You think being here in Miami is by coincidence? God has put us in this very spot for a reason, because he is sovereign. Are you guys with me? Even those who are visiting here with us today, you're wondering, how did I get here? Why am I here? Because God wanted you to be here in this very moment to hear the word of God. Are you guys with me? Amen. Now, the main truth of the matter is God is God and we are not. I think the problem is we fight to try to understand God. We get flustered and then we get bitter because we fight to understand something that we weren't even intended to understand. Now, I read this quote online. It says, trying to figure out God is like trying to catch a fish in the Pacific Ocean with an inch of dental floss. It is impossible to figure out God. You'll spend your whole life trying to figure out God. In Isaiah 55, verse 8 to 9, it says, for my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways. As the heavens are higher than earth, so are my ways higher than your ways and my thoughts than your thoughts. No, in the word of God, he worked through many people's lives. And they did not know the future. They had to trust in the present. They had to trust that God, he will take care of me even in the darkest hour of my life. You know, as we read about the Israelites, we understand they had ups and definitely they had downs. Amen. But the Israelites were in captive in slavery, captive for 400 years, and they couldn't understand why the very people of God were in slavery. Sometimes we question why we're suffering more than people even in the world. Man, I think I had it greater when I was in the world. I was free from this. But now I'm a disciple, and all these bad things are happening to me when good things should be happening, right? But the Israelites, they viewed it as this, and they wrestled with trying to figure out God. Then God rose up a leader named Moses. And then the 10 plagues of Egypt came, and God's miracles were seen. And then they were released. You know, God was faithful that they can make it to the promised land. And God is faithful that we can make it to the promised land as well. Amen. Now, the way we're going to get there, I don't know. Amen. But God knows. But just know that your destination is the promised land, which is heaven itself. Amen. You know, since the day of your baptism, God wasn't like, you loser. I'm going to have you suffer for 10 years and then you'll die right here in the desert. No, with God, there's never defeats, but opportunity to show God's power. And that's in every single disciple's life. Read with me as I read these scriptures. Amen. Turn to Exodus chapter 13. Point number one, God's sovereign leadership. As I spoke about before, the Israelites had just been released. 400 years of captivity. And God allowed them to be released. In Exodus chapter 13, we're going to pick it up in verse 17. The Bible says, when Pharaoh let the people go, God did not lead them on the road through the Philistine country, though that was shorter. For God said, if they face war, they might change their minds and return to Egypt. So God led the people around by the desert road toward the Red Sea. The Israelites went up out of Egypt armed for battle. Jump over to verse 20. It says, after leaving Succoth, they camped at Etham on the edge of the desert. By day, the Lord went ahead of them in a pillar of cloud to guide them on their way, and by night in a pillar of fire to give them light so that they could travel by day or night. Neither the pillar of cloud by day nor the pillar of fire by night left its place in front of the people. So what's amazing is after being slaves for so many years, God, in his grace, said, I'm going to release you. And the people were released. You know, right here, we find there's a shorter route for them to get to the promised land. And that was the coastal route. It was the shortest route and the most common way to go from Egypt to Canaan. But yet, God seen the military post right there in the Philistine area. So he led them a different way. Notice God's thoughts right here. He says, if they face war, they might change their minds and return to Egypt. But God's thoughts was not revealed to the people. They had no idea. So in their minds, they're like, man, why can't we go the shorter way? Why do we have to go the long way? Why is God trying to make things so hard in my life? Because they had no idea what God was trying to do with them. But yet they had a pillar of cloud by day and a pillar of fire by night to guide them. So the presence of God was with them. You know, you had the easy routes. And that was a great route, with trade route, with food and water. But the dangers were great, and the Israelites could not see that. You know, as we said and talked about before, God's thoughts are not our thoughts. His ways are not all our ways. Who in here loves the easy way? You know, me being a student for years, I always went to websites where I could find the easiest teachers. I'm like, hey, I want to be in that class. Because if I was in that class, I would get an A for sure. But you know the problem with always wanting to go the easy way? You don't learn what you need to learn. Sometimes it's not the best to go the easy way. Sometimes it's great to go the hard way, where you got to pull, you got to fight to get that A. Because you learn more from that. Yet, what could be going on in Israelite's mind is that, man, I want to go the easy way. I want to get this over with. But God's like, no, no, no. You will be trained. And I'm going to take you the hard way. But sadly, this is what was going on in them. You know, Jesus is driving and going ways that we may not think is best. Can you imagine if Jesus was your Uber driver? Jesus comes in, he's like, man, I'm your driver. I'm going to take you to a place where you need to go. Who in here will be afraid? Now, I can imagine Jesus coming in a Lamborghini. No, no, Jesus is a little humble. He might come in a Toyota Camry, amen? Yeah. He said, hey, come for a ride. I'm going to take you to an exciting, amazing place. You get into the car, and soon in the car, the ride is smooth. You're going fine. Jesus playing some jazz music. You're having a good time. And then you feel a bump. You're like, oh, Jesus, what's that? Then another bump. Oh, Jesus, what's that? Then you're almost in the car. You're like, Jesus, what's going on? By the time before the trip is over, some of us move Jesus out of the driver's seat, and Jesus has become one of the passengers now. We're the drivers, amen? And And now we live our life as we are driving, and Jesus is in the back telling, we're telling Jesus, hey, this is where we're going. When Jesus should be telling us where we are going. You know, God's sovereignty in leading us is based on our choice. It is free will. Will you allow God to move you and to show you the way? You know, this brings to me a great scripture that I wanted to read. Go to Acts chapter 26, verse 12. In Acts chapter 26, verse 12. This is Paul telling about his conversion story. And we pick it up in verse 12. Look what it says here. It's on one of these journeys, I was going to Damascus with the authority and commission of the chief priests. About noon, O king, I was on the road. I saw a light from heaven brighter than the sun blazing around me and my companions. We all fell to the ground. And I heard a voice say to me in Aramaic, Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me? It is hard for you to kick against the goats. Right here, Paul is telling his conversion story. He's saying on his way to Damascus, a light blinded him. He fell off the horse. And then he heard the words, Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me? It is hard for you to kick against the goats. You know, watch right here what he says. It is hard for you to kick against the goats. And the question is, what are goats? Goats are long, sharpened sticks used to prod oxen. So if an oxen is going to the left where he shouldn't be going, you use the goat. Get back over there. Get right where I need you to be. Right here, the Bible says that Paul was fighting and kicking against the goats. And notice it says that it is hard for you. You know, right here, Paul was resisting God's direction for his life. And how many of us have been there where we resist and we fought and fought and fought? I think for me, I fought before I became a disciple. I fought God's direction for my life because I was so seeped into my immorality. I was so seeped into drugs and drinking. I was like, I don't need God. I have this great life. But all through that time, through everything I was going through, I could have died many years ago, guys. I could have died even when I was in Nigeria. I could have died in the neighborhood of Philadelphia. But God kept me alive because he wanted a direction for my life to be different. But sometimes we can fight against God. You know, the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit are on one accord. But imagine if Jesus was like, hey, you know what, Father? I want to do my own thing and go the other way. That wouldn't make sense, right? They were completely unified, guys. And Jesus was willing to do whatever the Father told him to do. And that's why it was incredible. And Jesus did great things. You know, God's direction comes from his word, and we also need each other. Now, what are the goals that's in your life today? I think the very goal that we can use today is discipling. That's super important. Guys, sometimes we can go in a direction and we need another person to point us out and tell us, hey, this is the right way to go. For me in my life, so many different times, I'm like, I'm going the wrong way. Brother, please tell me, where do I need to go? And I remember when I was first baptized, and Sharon can attest to that. I mean, my DC, HU, disciples right there, amen? I was like, you know what? I just was baptized. I think it's best for me to go home to Philadelphia, where there's no disciples at. There's no relationships. I will do great there. So the Bible was pulled out to me, and I was like, bro, what about the kingdom of God? What about the kingdom? I am the kingdom. Look at me. I'm going to Philadelphia. I'm going to live my life, and I'm going to be a disciple there. Wow. Let me tell you something. When I went back to Philadelphia, guys, that was one of the hardest months that I ever had. I nearly fell away from God because I had no relationships in my life. See, I failed to listen to the people that were calling me to do differently based on the word of God. You know, what's amazing about that is that I humbled out, amen, and I came back to D.C., and God worked powerfully. But are you listening to those in your life today? You know, for us, we need to understand the purpose of God's sovereign leadership. Turn to Philippians chapter 1. Philippians chapter 1. And before we get into it, Paul's ambition was to get to Rome to preach the gospel. But he didn't know that he would come to Rome in chains. And now he's under house jail in Rome. And now he's writing to the church in Philippi. And look what he says in Philippians chapter 1, verse 12. The Bible says, "Now I want you to know, brothers, that what has happened to me has really served to advance the gospel. As a result, it has become clear throughout the whole palace guard and to everyone else that I am in chains for Christ. Because of my chains, most of the brothers in the Lord have been encouraged to speak the word of God more courageously and fearlessly." You know, right here, Paul wasn't bitter about God's sovereign leadership. He wasn't like, "Why did God do this with my life?" He accepted it. He was like, "Amen, I'm in jail, but I'm going to be grateful no matter what." He's there, and he's telling the Philippians to rejoice. And he says in verse 12 that what has happened to me has really served to advance the gospel. You know, many disciples were asking me, "Hey, bro, what are you doing in Miami? You were just in Houston." You know, it's amazing. I was baptized on April 19th, 2009 in D.C., which was incredible. And then I went on my first mission team to Orlando in 2012. And guys, Orlando was another adventure. It was great. It was hard. And that's what was great about it. Amen. But I learned so much from being there. And then, as you guys know, I was sent to Houston in 2016. And guys, when I went to Houston, I was submissive to God's sovereign leadership in my life. God was calling me to go to Houston, my wife and I, Kiki and Stephanie, to go preach the word there. And I believe that wholeheartedly. Guys, in Houston, it was great. We got there. I mean, in the first 3 weeks, we had 3 baptisms. Things were going incredible, guys. But then the challenges started to come. And I looked to God and I said, "God, why? What is going on?" You know, through the time in Houston, there was victories, guys. But there was many, many, many defeats. But all through that time, I learned and I learned and I learned what God was trying to do in my life. Remember the time when we struggled with special missions and God in the sovereignty allowed us to hit $3,000 over our goal and we hit $29,100 in special missions. Guys. And then we had another special missions and we hit that goal as well. But I remember when things got rough financially and things got tough as in growing the church. I remember one day Matt called me and he was like, "Hey, you know, I'm going to be in Houston." And mind you guys, Matt hasn't been in Houston since we went on a mission to Houston. So, I mean, it's ironic for Matt to be there, you know? He was going through there to go to Lake Charles to go see his family. But me and him came, and he came, and then we met at this restaurant. We sat down and talked. And then at the end of the conversation, we were talking, and he was like, "Hey, you know, bro, we're going to ask you to come out in the ministry." I was like, "Whoa. Bro, you sent me here. What are you talking about? Come on, ministry." I just couldn't understand why, guys. You know, when I was there, we were sitting. You know, he had a sad look on his face, and I had a sad look of mine. Because I just couldn't believe what was going on in my life. Guys, I've been moving around. I'm moving around joyfully. But I think this was the hardest move to come here, and I'm going to be honest with you, church. It's very hard to come here. Because I believe that, man, I need to be in Houston. This is the place for me. So we talked, and he thought it would be best for me to come out to ministry. And really, in a sense, I truly, truly understood. But then he told me I had to ask myself this question. Will more souls be saved if I stay or leave? And I believe wholeheartedly, guys, that more souls will be saved if I leave. You know, verse 12 right here, he says, Brothers, what has happened to me has really served to advance the gospel. As a result, it's become clear throughout the whole palace guard and to everyone else that I am in chains for Christ. You know, the word whole palace guard, translated praetorian guard, that means there are 10,000 soldiers there, and they all knew what Paul was about. See, God wanted to make impact, a great impact in Paul's life. And that's the same thing that he's trying to do with us even today. I think the last month after I heard the news that I was leaving was the hardest month that I had as a disciple. Because I couldn't tell the church that I was leaving, but I had to give my full heart. I couldn't say, bro, I'm leaving. I had to wait till the right time. I remember sitting with my dear brother, Derek, and we're sitting there looking at each other. And at that time, it was already said to the church that Stephanie will be leaving, and it hurt the church in that way. But he's like, man, I just can't understand why Stephanie leaving, bro. And then I had to break down and tell him, no, bro, I'm leaving as well. To see this brother's face and the tears that he had on his face, I had tears as well, too. And guys, I'm not a crier. Ask my wife. I don't cry much. I mean, I just don't. But to see the pain in the brother's eyes, it led me to tears because I knew that we were going to be separated. But I pulled out the word of God and I read this exact scripture. The important thing is that more souls would be saved. And even today, I'm putting that scripture on my heart with God's sovereign leadership. And I'm saying, hey, more souls would be saved. Wherever I am, Miami, Houston, Nigeria, God forbid, amen. God is here, there for me to make disciples. Are you guys with me? And I believe that wholeheartedly. Do you question why you're here in Miami today? Do you wake up one morning and say, how in the world did I come to Miami? When I was asked to come to the mission, why did I say yes? Well, it's part of God's plan to have you here in this very place. Because the world must be evangelized and many souls need to be saved here in Miami. I love to wait until the first person I baptize when I'm here in Miami. This is evidence that God has called me to be here. Are you guys with me? Amen. Guys, we must believe in God's sovereign leadership. And guess right here, look what it says right here in verse 14. It says, because of my chains, most of the brothers in the Lord have been encouraged to speak the word of God more courageously and fearlessly. You know, because I was sent here, guys, those brothers are fired up in the Lord. They're preaching every single day. They even text me, bro, we're on campus going after. I'm like, that's what I'm talking about. See, maybe those brothers are clinging on to me too much because I was doing all the work. And I needed to leave so that they can go out and proclaim God's word. I don't know the full reason why, but I'm here, and I'm here, and I am. This is who I am. Amen? And God is going to use me powerfully here in Miami. But we must trust God's sovereign leadership. Are you guys with me? Point number two, God's sovereignty through trials. Go to Exodus chapter 14. So we understand that God was leading the people and he's protecting them. And he led them the long way. But in Exodus chapter 14, we're going to pick it up in verse 1. The Bible says, then the Lord said to Moses, tell the Israelites to turn back and encamp near Pi Hahiroth, between Migdol and the sea. They are to encamp by the sea, directly opposite Baal Zephon. Pharaoh would think the Israelites are wandering around the land in confusion, hemmed in by the desert. And I will harden Pharaoh's heart, and he will pursue them. But I will gain glory for myself through Pharaoh and all his army. And the Egyptians will know that I am the Lord. So the Israelites did this. You know, right here, God told Moses to lead Israel in a way that looked very, very confusing. No, he put them where they couldn't wander. All they had between them was the sea. And the only way to get out was through the sea. Yeah. See, God put them in a place where there was an impossible situation. It was impossible for them to move around. It was impossible for them to get away. Keep reading in verse 5. The Bible says, when the king of Egypt was told that the people had fled, Pharaoh and his officials changed their minds about them and said, what have we done? We have let the Israelites go and have lost their services. So he had his chariot made ready and took his army with him. He took 600 of the best chariots along with the other chariots of Egypt, with officers over all of them. The Lord hardened the heart of Pharaoh, king of Egypt, so that he pursued the Israelites, who were marching out boldly. The Egyptians, all Pharaoh's horses and chariots, horsemen, and troops pursued the Israelites and overtook them as they camped by the sea of Pi-Hahiroth, opposite of Baal-Zephon. As Pharaoh approached, the Israelites looked up, and there were the Egyptians marching after them. They were terrified and cried out to the Lord. They said to Moses, "Was it because there were no graves in Egypt that you brought us to the desert to die?" That's pretty crazy, isn't it? They just seen the 10 plagues of Egypt, and now they're in doubt. "What have you done to us by bringing us up out of Egypt? Didn't we say to you in Egypt, 'Leave us alone. Let us serve the Egyptians'? It would have been better for us to serve the Egyptians than to die in the desert." You know, right here, the people were boxed in, and the only way to get out was through the sea. And for us, as men and women, when we're boxed in and we can't go anywhere, that's when panic starts to happen. You're looking around, you're like, "Oh gosh, where can I go? Where can I go? I can't go anywhere. There's nowhere to go." And when we find ourselves in dangerous places, we can't complain. They're not even a week out of Egypt, and they're complaining. They say, "Hey, I want to go back to Egypt." See, now they're confused. They're out of it. They're thinking the life they had before is better than the life they had now. But yet, God uses the suffering in our lives for his glory. Now, the plan on the suffering is to teach us, to correct us, and to mature our faith. Turn over to 2 Corinthians chapter 4. In 2 Corinthians chapter 4, we find an incredible scripture here, and we're going to pick it up in verse 7. The Bible says, "But we have this treasure in jars of clay to show that this all-surpassing power is from God and not from us. We are hard-pressed on every side, but not crushed. Perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not abandoned. Struck down, but not destroyed. We always carry around in our body the death of Jesus, so that the life of Jesus may be revealed in our body. For we who are alive are always being given over to death for Jesus' sake, so that his life might be revealed in our mortal body. So then death is at work in us, but life is at work in you." You know, right here is a pretty powerful scripture. But the Bible says, we have this treasure in jars of clay. You know, during those times, jars of clay were very cheap. It could easily be broken. But God's not worried about the clay. He's not worried about a human body. He's focused more so on what's in it. You know, what's in our bodies is something special. You know, what's in our bodies is a great thing. It's a treasure to show that this all-surpassing power is from God and not from us. The Bible says they're oppressed on every side but not crushed, perplexed but not in despair, persecuted but not abandoned, and struck down but not destroyed. The whole goal of our lives on this earth is to show that Jesus Christ is still alive. Amen? Amen. And we're showing that to everybody who we meet and who we come in contact with. You know, I believe Christians are like glow sticks. In order to shine, they must be broken. What are you going through in your life today? God is trying to let your light shine throughout all of Miami. Did you get a flat tire this week? Are you suffering financially? Did you lose your job this week? That can be a killer. We get down about these things. We've got to realize that God is doing something special in our lives. He's saying that Jesus can still be used and Jesus can do incredible things through your life, even though it looks like a mess. Do you believe that today as disciples? You know, even in the Bible, there are men who went through so many challenging situations. You know, I'm not going to read this story, but we all understand the story of Joseph, right?
Yeah.
17 years old, very special to his father. He was so special that his father gave him a colorful coat, and then his brothers got so bitter at him because he was treated as a special son. You know, he was living the dream, but God had a different plan for his life. You know, his brother was so jealous, they sold him into slavery and accused. And then once he was in slavery and he's working for Potiphar, he was accused of sleeping with Potiphar's wife. Then he was jailed for 10 years, guys. And then he got out and became the minister for Egypt. God worked powerfully in his life. And I believe in those 10 years when he was suffering, guys, he could not see what God was doing with him. But later in his life, let's see the response that he had when he spoke to his brothers. Look at Genesis chapter 50, verse 19. In Genesis chapter 50, verse 19. The Bible says in verse 19, it says, "But Joseph said to them, 'Don't be afraid. Am I in the place of God? You intended to harm me, but God intended it for good to accomplish what is now being done, the saving of many lives. So then don't be afraid. I will provide for you and your children.' And he reassured them and spoke kindly to them." You know, Joseph's heart was no bitterness. He's like, you know what? I look back at my life and I clearly see what God was trying to do. I think one day we're going to look back on the flat tires. We're going to look back on the lost jobs. And we're going to laugh about it. It's going to be funny to us. Because we're going to see the man or woman that God has made us become. Are you guys with me? God did not put us here to harm us or destroy us. He put us here to live and to live with Christ. Turn over to Romans chapter 8, verse 28. In Romans chapter 8, verse 28. The Bible says, "And we know that in all things," you might say, what about this thing? The Bible says, all things, "God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose." Jump over to verse 35. The Bible says, "What shall separate us from the love of Christ? So trouble or hardship or persecution or famine or nakedness or danger or sword. As it is written, for your sake we face death all day long. We are considered as sheep to be slaughtered. No, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither present nor the future, nor any power, neither height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus, our Lord." You know, for me, when I suffer, guys, I do cry out to God. But the hardest thing for me is to watch other people suffer, especially when it comes to my family. You know, I know I shared this with the church years ago. It was about my brother. My brother, currently, he's in prison still. He still has not got out yet. He doesn't get out till 2019. I remember when I lived in Orlando, I struggled with this for so much time, and I got so sad about it. So sad to the point where my wife had to encourage me with scriptures and lift me up out of bed, because that's how down I was. Now, I remember a time when we had a Bible study in a place of IHOP, and it was near UCF. And I was sitting here doing a Bible study. I was still hurting about my brother. Then all of a sudden, I seen this man behind me, and I was like, man, you know, I should share my faith with this guy. So after the Bible study, I turn around and I share my faith with this guy in Orlando, and it turns out he was a warden in my brother's prison in PA. I'm thinking like, what is he doing in Orlando? My brother's in PA in prison, and he actually works for that prison. I was blown away. You know, that man that I met came out to church. See, God was trying to use my suffering for his glory so that more souls can be saved. And he came out to church and I was like, man, now I can see what God is trying to do. God allowed this to happen to my brother so that many souls can be a disciple. And this guy came out to church and he loved it and even studied the Bible. You know, God can use any situation in your life. Are you trusting in God through the trials? You know, we turn back. We're going to close out in the story in Exodus chapter 14. Exodus chapter 14, verse 13. So we know that the Israelites are panicking. And like, God, why did you bring us here? You brought us here to die. Look at Moses' heart in verse 13. The Bible says, Moses answered the people, do not be afraid, stand firm, and you will see the deliverance the Lord will bring you today. The Egyptians you see today, you will never see again. The Lord will fight for you. You need only to be still. See, Moses didn't know how it was going to happen, but he believed in God's sovereignty. That we will make it to the promised land. He was super, super faithful. Keep going in verse 15. The Bible says, then the Lord said to Moses, why are you crying out to me? Tell the Israelites to move on. Raise your staff and stretch out your hand over the sea to divide the water so the Israelites can go through the sea on dry ground. I will harden the hearts of the Egyptians so that they will go in after them. And I will gain glory through Pharaoh and all his army, through his chariots and his horsemen. The Egyptians will know that I am the Lord when I gain glory through Pharaoh and his chariots and his horsemen. Then an angel of God who has been traveling in front of Israel's army withdrew and went behind them. The pillar of the cloud also moved from in front and stood behind them, coming between the armies of Egypt and Israel. Throughout the night, the cloud brought darkness to the one side and the light to the other side. So neither went near the other all night long. Then Moses stretched out his hand over the sea, and all that night the Lord drove the sea back with a strong east wind and turned it into dry land. The waters were divided, and the Israelites went through the sea on dry ground with their wall of water on their right and on their left. The Egyptians pursued them, and all Pharaoh's horses and chariots and horsemen followed them into the sea. During the last watch of the night, the Lord looked down from the pillar of fire and cloud at the Egyptian army and threw it into confusion. He made the wheels of the chariots come off so that they had difficulty driving. And the Egyptians said, let's get away from the Israelites. The Lord is fighting for them against Egypt. Then the Lord said to Moses, stretch out your hand over the sea so that the waters may flow back over the Egyptians and their chariots and horsemen. Moses stretched out his hand over the sea, and at daybreak, the sea went back to its place. The Egyptians were fleeing toward it, but the Lord swept them into the sea. The water flowed back, covered the chariots and horsemen, the entire army of Pharaoh that had followed the Israelites into the sea. No, not one of them survived. But the Israelites went through the sea on dry ground with their wall of water on their right and on their left. That day, the Lord saved Israel from the hands of the Egyptians, and Israel saw the Egyptians lying dead on the shore. And when the Israelites saw the great power the Lord displayed against the Egyptians, the people feared the Lord and put their trust in him and in Moses, his servant. No, one thing that we have to understand as the people of God, when we get behind God's sovereign leadership, when we understand the sovereignty of God through the trials, then comes the miracle. One of the greatest miracles of the Bible, the dividers of the Red Sea. And God allowed that to happen because they submitted to his leadership. You know, I don't know how hard 2017 was for you. You know, for me, it was a challenge. And I don't know how hard 2018 will be for you. I take it will be even harder than 2017. Who knows? But we must understand that it will be a victorious year if we just hold on and allow God to move in our lives. Are you guys with me? Now, I got a little short story to close out. You know, imagine you fell off a cliff, but managed to grab a tree limb on the way down, and then you had a conversation. You say, is anyone out there? Someone says, I am here. I am the Lord. Do you believe me? Yes, Lord, I believe. I really believe, but I can't hang on much longer. That's all right. If you really believe, you have nothing to worry about. I will save you. Just let go of the branch. A moment of pause. Is anyone else up there? We need to trust God, trust His sovereignty. He will not fail you. Point number one, God's sovereign leadership. Point number two, God's sovereignty through Charles. Oh, sovereign Lord, amen.